Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. We may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought and all of that. And here we are, just days away from the most important election of our lifetime.
Again?
Every time. It's always the most important election of our lifetime. We've got leftist insurrectionists planning to disrupt civic life in the wake of the election. I'm not sure if it matters who wins more than likely it'll be in light of the fact that we won't know who won, or that's what they're hoping. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that, you've heard my prediction. I don't have to repeat myself. And so maybe we'll just move on from the most important election of our lifetime. And the civil unrest. We're sitting in a restaurant. I was facing the street in the restaurant. And one of the Trump trains started coming by, pickup truck after pickup truck with the flags in the back. You've seen them everywhere, right? So we're sitting there waiting for our meal. And there's a group across the room from us, just over 6 feet away, as a matter of fact. And two of the group are not facing the street, and two are facing the street. And I hear the lady facing the street say to the couple who are not facing the street, "Can you believe it's the year 2020 and people are driving down the road with a Confederate flag in their truck?" And so I waited a second or two, and then I decided, I'm not going to let her get by with that. And so I told her, I said, "Lady, there was no Confederate flag." I said, "Why are you lying about that? Why are you lying?" I accused her of lying, only because she was lying to the elderly couple that was sitting with their backs to the street. Anyway, there was a bit of a conflagration where she said she didn't appreciate me shouting at her. And I said, "Well, I don't appreciate you lying." And then fortunately, we were at the end of the meal, or it could have gotten really ugly. But it was at a point where I was able to just graciously step away. I haven't seen a Confederate flag in any of the Trump trains, and I didn't want to let her get by with that. But we'll get back to the most important election of our lifetime as the program unfolds. I'm certain that it's bound to come up. So we'll go on now into the justice file, where you remember a couple of weeks ago, we covered the fact that Walgreens is actually closing stores in the Bay Area because of the rampant shoplifting. Just over 10 days ago, KRON, the TV station there in San Francisco, decided to do a live shoot at the Walgreens that we had talked about just a couple weeks ago. So KRON sends the camera crew down there, and they start rolling tape with the reporter in the foreground. And in the background, you can see a fella jumping over the counter and taking off with arms full of merchandise right there on camera. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, this wasn't the local station. This is a local station covering this. This was a crew from the television show Inside Edition. They were in the Walgreens as a guy robs the place right in front of God and everybody. And that's why the store is going to close. Anyway, this is all alleged. It's all alleged. I mean, there's videotape of the guy stealing the stuff, but we're not allowed to say whether or not the Walgreens was actually robbed. It was all just alleged, as we caught the video there. Okay, that's a sad state of affairs there. Do you think that this most important election of our lifetime is going to change anything at all, having anything to do with this, the rampant shoplifting in California? This most important election of our lifetime will not affect that in any way. But let's go on into the dim new world file, where according to Newser.com, the global pandemic has led to a surge of popularity for online chess. That's right, online chess. As people actually lock themselves in their houses for fear of a virus, they're playing more and more chess. And this has led to a surge in cheating. That's right, cheating at chess. That's right, there are now powerful apps out there that can calculate moves and basically cheat at chess, which I didn't think it was possible to cheat at chess, but I guess it is with these apps, I guess. Anyway, one young lady who runs a junior chess tournament in Britain, she says, she's asked, who's doing all this cheating? And she says, it's the children from the private schools, sadly. And when I ring their parents, they just get angry with me. You know, they're under such pressure to succeed. So the parents get angry at the teacher who caught the kid cheating? That's different. That's different than when I was. I remember when you got caught cheating when I went to school, your parents got mad at you. And you got in trouble. But no longer. No longer. Now the parents, I suppose there's always been some of this amongst the entitled class. But now it's trickled down to just everybody. Everybody's entitled. You know what'll be great in the afterlife? In heaven, there'll be no cheating. Nobody will be trying to rip you off. Can you imagine what life would be like if we could all trust one another all the time to not lie and not rip each other off? That will be great. It will not be achieved on this planet. It will not be achieved perfectly until the afterlife. But that'll be one great thing about heaven. There'll be none of that. We'll have none of that. Thank you very much. We won't tolerate any of that. Well, no, it won't have to. It won't have anything to do with tolerance. There'll be no desire for us to lie to one another and rip each other off, which will be great. So I'm looking forward to that, but I don't want to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I don't want to die, at least not today, not right away. But I am looking forward to life after death. Let's just put it that way. I don't want to be too, down, he said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. As she was. We'll move then into the widespread panic file, where Macy's department store has halted its tradition of children coming to visit Santa as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. That's right. They say it's just too hard to create a safe environment during a pandemic. That's pretty sad. Now, I was never a big fan of Santa Claus and all of that. All right. Never been a big participant in the whole Christmas situation. But this is a shame. That's all. And it's not a shame that Macy's isn't going to have Santa Claus and have kids come and sit on his knee and tell him what tell Santa what you want for Christmas. That's not really the point. The point is the tradition. By the way, this has been going on since the early 1860s. Did I say 19? I meant 18. Yes, the early 1860s. Macy's has been having Santa Claus at the store and the kids and the whole thing, right? Miracle on 34th Street, the whole thing, right? Since the early 1860s, and we've lost our nerve to keep doing it. We collectively as a people have lost our nerve. I mean, of course, we've never had any problems with communicable diseases since, 160 years before 2020, there were no communicable diseases. And so, actually there were epidemics, there were pandemics, there's been all kinds. There was a civil war for crying out loud. And Macy still had the, anyway, people just never freaked out like this before. And it's, well, I shouldn't say anything more about that. It's something to watch, huh? 160 years of tradition down the toilet, along with 5,000 years of collective human experience and 100 years of amazing medical advancement has all been shunned and thrown in the ash heap of history in favor of superstition and fear. And there are powerful forces who are stepping in to take advantage from the widespread conspiracy file. Downloaded this from the WorldEconomicForum.org website. The World Economic Forum is, it includes the Prince of Wales, Prince Charles, and all kinds of other highfalutin leftists. And they're calling for what they call the Great Reset. Now, take off your tinfoil hat. I'm not making up a conspiracy here. This is an open plan that Prince Charles and the head of Greenpeace and other IMF whoop-de-doos are all putting out there in front of God and everybody. They're not hiding it. They don't have a secret handshake. They have an actual initiative called the Great Reset. It's being promoted by His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales to guide decision makers on the path to a more resilient, sustainable world beyond coronavirus. See, we have a unique opportunity to reshape the global economy. Uh-huh. Yeah, of course. These highfalutin leftists have been talking about this for 100 years. They've been planning to trying to do this. They've been trying to find a situation where they could overthrow the free market, crush all of their competition, and make citizens completely dependent on them. They've been wanting to do this for 100 years, and they're doing it right now. It's actually happening. Let's see, do I have anything more on the World Economic Forum? Oh, they say the pandemic's ramifications have thrown inequalities into sharp relief. Yes, sharp relief. As lockdowns ease, governments and organizations across the globe are turning their attention to the recovery process and the opportunity it provides to rebuild in a different way, one that makes the world better and addresses the other great crisis of our time, climate change. Back to the climate change they are. So these people are serious, and they have lots of money, and they have an incredible amount of influence over the minds of the scared morons out there who have flinched away civilization. Let's see here. This is kind of depressing to think that. We don't want to be depressing. Let's just go on. Should we move on to another story? No, wait. Let's see here. This, you see, according to the World Economic Forum, this is a rare window of opportunity to shape a more sustainable and resilient world. Starting today, this was back on June 3rd, the World Economic Forum is working with His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales on an initiative we've coined the Great Reset, a guide decision makers on the rocky path ahead. At our annual meeting in 2021, if we're able to stop wetting our pants and leave our homes, we'll be devoted to the Great Reset. We'll start with a change of shorts, I think. All right, there we go. So our only saving grace is that these people are as scared as anyone else of getting sick. So maybe there won't be a World Economic Forum in 2021. Maybe. All right. So let's see. We'll move on to reason number 1,181: to get or keep your children out of the government schools. There's a study out, a brand new study, that shows increased favorability for the term socialism. Yep, about half of Generation Z, I'm not sure who Generation Z is. Is that after the millennials? Are we that old already? So there's Gen X, And was there something between Gen X and the millennials? I don't think there was. I think the millennials are our kids or people around our age. I don't want to give away my age, but... so Gen Z, are millennials even having kids? I didn't even know that. I don't know any millennials who are married or have kids, do I? Oh, yeah, I do know a couple. The homeschooled Christian normal kids. They're in the distinct minority. But there are a few out there, shining examples of hope for the future, whereas the rest are just getting high and playing video games and making money and eating and getting high and playing video games. All right, anyway, that group, Gen Z, about half of them say that they have a favorable opinion of the term socialism, and that's up almost 10% in just the past year. So Generation Z has been thoroughly indoctrinated, which we've been warning you people about. 40% of Americans, just Americans in general, 40% have a favorable view of socialism. All right. Gen Z's favorability towards communism holds steady right around 30%. 22% of millennials. All right, now I'm getting into numbers. That's not, you can't follow that. Over a quarter of Americans support the gradual elimination of the capitalist system in favor of a more socialist system, with the most support among the younger generation. So, folks, once a significant plurality of the population goes commie, socialist, green, I mean, it's just a matter of time before it's all over, or there's going to be a fight. There's either going to be the gradual or sudden replacement of the free market system, or somebody's going to put up a fight. So it's not going to end nicely. Let's see, anything else? Oh, over one-third of Americans, about 40%, are likely to support a member of the Democratic Socialist Party. And over half of Generation Z, over half of the kiddos, are likely to support a democratic socialist. Wow, that's kind of scary. What was it? It was the National Socialist Party that appealed to the younger folks there in Germany generations ago, and now it's the softer, kinder face of socialism that appeals to the younger folks. They think it's Uncle Bernie, you know. It's Uncle Bernie. He does. When in reality, it's Antifa. I'm your host, Doug McBurney, and speaking of scientific knowledge and medical advancement, this was an interesting story from the Real Science File. Medical researchers have made a surprise anatomical discovery. What, you say? Yes, a set of glands hidden inside the human head that has somehow been missed by scientists up until just a couple of weeks ago. Which is, I don't know how this is possible, as these are the experts. The experts missed an organ in the human body that we didn't know about? Are you kidding me? Yes, as a matter of fact, This organ was identified by accident by doctors in the Netherlands with an advanced type of scan. A new kind of scan, and a radiation oncologist, Wouter Vogel, in the Netherlands Cancer Institute says, this is in the Netherlands, interesting. He says, as far as we knew, the only salivary or mucous glands in the nasopharynx are microscopically small, and up to 1,000 are evenly spread out through the mucosa. So imagine our surprise when we found these. So this is a giant set. This is amazing. It's a giant set of salivary glands located behind the nose and above the palate, close to the center of the human head. It's been sitting there the whole time. That's amazing. Let's see. These tubarial glands were seen to exist in all of the 100 patients examined in the study. So it wasn't just one kind of freak anatomy specimen. We all apparently have this, and somehow we missed it the whole time. All right. So when the experts tell you that they know just a healthy amount of skepticism, that's all I recommend. You don't have to be a hermit locked in your house and just going online and downloading conspiracies and freaking yourself out to just have a healthy amount of skepticism when the experts come out and they say, there's a new virus and we have no immunity. It's going to kill millions of people. Just have just a healthy bit of skepticism. You know, a healthy bit of skepticism may have prevented us from destroying the world over the possibility of something that we didn't even know was for sure going to happen. And now, in hindsight, it didn't happen, like they said. It didn't happen. Okay, but hindsight's 2020. Let's move on to the Mark of the Beast file. I don't want to offend all you people who are genuinely frightened. I apologize if I offend you. I find it off-putting that people are actually afraid of getting sick and dying. I'm tired of saying that. I'm repeating myself now. The Mark of the Beast file. Chinese Christian Chen Yu was caught boldly selling religious publications that were not authorized by the government. The government in China is the Chinese Communist Party, and they had not authorized these particular religious publications. And so Chinese Christian Chen Yu was sentenced to 7 years in prison and fined $30,000 for handing out unauthorized religious materials. Such punishment is common in China today. This is according to the Federalist. In addition to Chinese Christian Chen Yu being fined and imprisoned, the court ordered local police to destroy about 13,000 religious books from his bookstore. And the Federalist reminds us that the Chinese Communist Party is deeply afraid of Christianity. They're terrified of it. Estimates are that there are about 100 million Christians in China. And this makes the eradication of Christianity difficult. Now, not impossible. It's not that communists have not successfully killed tens of millions of people before. They've done that before. Chairman Mao tried, but President Xi, at least according to the Federalist, prefers a more subtle tactic than Mao. Mao just starved them out and arrested them and killed them. Chairman Xi has decided to rewrite the Bible. That's right. There's going to be a new CCP translation that's going to be government approved. They're going to rewrite the Bible. Oh. Yeah, that's pretty
Mormonish.
Yes, but it's pretty high-handed and presumptuous to say we're going to rewrite the Bible. But they're going to do it, and let's see some of the subtle changes. If you go to the Bible and you read the Book of John, chapter 8, It's the woman caught in adultery. You remember that? And the accusers asked Jesus if they should stone her to death, as the law commands. And does anybody remember what Jesus said in response to that? That's right. Jesus said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And then they he wrote something in the dust there that's rather mysterious. But the whole crowd ended up walking away. And then Jesus told the woman, go now and sin no more. You remember that story, right? Well, the Chinese Communist Party's version is slightly different. In the Chinese Communist Party approved translation, they ask Jesus if they should stone the adulterous woman. And Jesus tells the woman, I too am a sinner. And then Jesus proceeds to stone the woman to death. What? Slightly different. So there are some subtle differences in the story. Yeah. So the party story teaches that forgiveness is rejected and the law must be obeyed without question. And the law is whatever the Chinese Communist Party says it is. And so that's the mark of the beast. Chairman Xi, you don't have to stamp 666 on the back of his head. I mean, he wants to rewrite the Bible. I mean, he's taken the mark. It's in his forehead and in his right hand. See, they're going to think about it and then they're going to do it. They're going to write it, think about it, and they're going to write it down. And they're going to rewrite the Bible. And then they're going to, they're never going to eradicate Christianity in China or anywhere else. And the harder they try, the more resilient the faithful become. And so we pray for our brothers and sisters in China. That's true persecution. That's real. And Chairman Xi is going to go straight to hell with jet rockets and be tormented for all of eternity. Rightfully so. And he'll get exactly what he deserves and he'll go exactly where he wants to go. Meanwhile, we return to the United States where we uncover now reason 1,180 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Starting this year, this is according to the San Diego Union Tribune, which I believe is a newspaper. Starting this school year, San Diego Unified will eliminate non-academic factors such as student behavior from academic grades. That's right. This change is to address racial disparities in current grading practices. Data have shown, according to the school district, that Black, Hispanic, Native American, and Pacific Islander high school students are significantly more likely to be given D and F grades. And that the problem is obviously how we're grading these students. Experts have said that including non-academic factors into grades, you know, like behavior, things like that. What did they used to call it? I can't remember. Anyway, just do you behave yourself? You know, do you follow instructions? Do you listen to the teacher? Are you disruptive? Are you disrespectful? Have you been... All of that. What's that?
Like a good prisoner.
That's right. Are you a good prisoner or not? Luke. Anyway, they say that including behavioral aspects in the grading process is unfair. It's not. It's just not fair, especially for the Black, Hispanic, Native American, and Pacific Islanders. Okay, so they're going to change the way they grade students in order to address racial disparities. Anyway, do I have to say anything more about that? It's reason number 1,180 to get or keep your children out of the government schools because everyone running the government schools is criminally insane. And they're going to indoctrinate your children to believe that if your skin color is darker, that somehow you're expected to behave worse than if your skin color is lighter. which is a mentally deranged way of looking at life, and it's rather disrespectful of our more melanated brothers and sisters. Are we now we're supposed to expect that they're generally more inclined toward bad or even illegal behavior? Is that what we're going to teach the children? Well, if you don't get your kids out of the government schools, yes, that's what they'll be taught. Doug McBurney, we're coming back. So I just want to go back into the story here from the San Diego School District out there. So experts have said that it's unfair to expect black, brown, and white kids to all behave. That's just not. It reminds me of the New Testament. So many times in the New Testament, Jesus said to his audience, "You have heard it said, yada, yada, whatever. You've heard people say this. Even experts have said, you have heard it said." But then he would contrast that by saying, "I say to you." So you've heard it said that this and yada yada, but here's what I'm here to tell you. And so I'm not here to preach a sermon, but if you'll go into the New Testament and look at what Jesus said, then you'll not be, hopefully you'll not be comfortable putting your children into the government schools. If you familiarize yourself enough with what Jesus actually said himself while he was dwelling on earth and through all of his prophets and through all of his apostles, it should make you very uncomfortable once you figure out what Jesus is saying to you rather than what you may have heard was said even by the experts out there. All right. Meanwhile, we'll continue through the decline and fall file as the global pandemic wreaks havoc. In Europe, they're terrified. They're locking down again. And but by the way, folks, America's election is a global event. So people suspect that this global pandemic was latched onto by Democrats in order to get rid of Donald Trump. And there's a lot of truth to that. But there's a global effort to get rid of Donald Trump. It's not just here in America. So why did the whole world flinch? Well, mostly because they're socialist cowards who want power. And they want to lord it over everyone. But they also desperately need to get rid of Donald Trump because he has disrupted the flow of capital throughout the whole Hunter Biden thing is just one example of the cash flow network. The flow of money in politics was well established. And Donald Trump came in and just messed all that up. And they can't tolerate that. And that's why the whole European continent now is moving into their the second wave, right? The second wave that we've all been brainwashed into expect is now upon us, and the Europeans are locking down and crawling back under their beds and wetting themselves again, and it's just all so predictable and sad. But while all that happens, and supposedly we're all terrified of this horrible disease, supposedly. Up in Canada, there's a women's only beauty pageant, which that caught my eye right there. I mean, see, there were certain things that you just never had to say in the past.
Okay.
So, anyway, Canada Galaxy Pageants is a company there. They run a women's-only beauty pageant. They're up in Toronto. Okay. Well, they are now facing human rights complaints from a tranny who's not been accepted as a contestant. Okay, but it's worse than that, folks. It's worse than just now we have to say women's-only beauty pageant. It gets worse from there. The pageant's policy, listen to the pageant's official policy that existed before this particular tranny tried to gin up a lawsuit against them. Their policy allows only biological females or those who have fully transitioned.
What?
That was their existing policy. Yeah. If you either have to be a biological female or you have to have fully transitioned in order to compete. And the fully transitioned has to do with surgical procedures. We'll just leave it at that, okay? Anyway, in light of this tranny's complaints and the backlash, apparently there's a transphobic backlash being exercised against this women's only beauty pageant. So they've had to update their policy. So the women's only beauty pageant in Canada has updated their policy to include the term genetic females and fully transitioned people. So now they don't say biological female. They say genetic female because things are getting pretty squirrely and it's just hard to identify. I mean, is that really, I mean, do they even have the right to assert that we can genetically determine someone's sex? I mean, really? That seems on its face to disagree with the idea that we can transition. Oh, that's right. The facts and reality, they no longer apply. Everyone's insane. It's no wonder that the world is being destroyed under their feet. They're all insane. The world's being governed by the criminally insane. Yeah, and Hunter Biden's laptop is evidence that our highest reaches of power are infiltrated with criminally insane people who are sick and disgusting perverts, by the way. But let's move on from that. Did I have anything else on... I didn't have anything else on Hunter Biden. I mean, it's just a shame. It's a real shame, okay? That's... I guess I'll leave it at that. Let's move to Philadelphia, okay? Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Where WHYY, which is a radio or television station in Philadelphia, is reporting that a couple Tuesdays ago, just before 10 a.m., an armed man tried to rob another man on the street in Philadelphia at 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, the second man had a gun, and he shot the robber once in the chest. The robber was pronounced dead at the scene. And so now the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office has confirmed that the man who shot the robber in self-defense works as a gun violence counselor for the district attorney's immediate response team. So this is a guy who goes to de-escalate crime scenes. That's his actual job. He specializes in de-escalating gun violence situations. So that's his make-work job that the government gave him. And by the way, this is the type of person that a significant plurality of people in America, this is the type of person they want sent to an active crime scene. They want a gun violence counselor there, not the police. But folks, reality has a tendency to slap you into reality, I guess. Because the gun violence counselor found himself in a situation where he had to shoot another man to death. Why? Because really, the guy might have killed him. For real. And so that's from the Isn't It Ironic file. The gun violence counselor, the de-escalator, shoots and kills a robber in self-defense. And meanwhile, then another guy in Philadelphia, let's see, who was this guy? Walter Wallace Jr. Was shot and killed, a couple weeks ago. And so the people started looting. So the police have reported that in their estimation, there were 1,000 or more looters at one point on the second night of the looting and the rape of Philadelphia. And listen to how Fox News reports this. A second night of unrest in Philadelphia over the police shooting death of a black man. Okay, so they dutifully towed the party line, right? Police have shot and the police shooting of another black man. Anyway, the videotapes of the looting is. So there was one report that around 100 ATM machines were systematically targeted and blown apart with explosives so that the money could be taken. One person was seen on video hauling away what appeared to be a washing machine in the looting frenzy.
That's
a washing machine, yeah. The unrest comes after the police shooting death Walter Wallace Jr. 27-year-old young man was armed with a knife. There was a confrontation, and authorities said he ignored repeated warnings to drop the weapon and charge toward the officer. That's what the authorities said. So Fox News reports that authorities said that the man ignored the repeated warnings, drop the knife, drop the knife, drop the knife. How do I know they were saying drop the knife? Because I've seen the video of the man with the knife charging toward the police who are saying drop the knife, drop the knife, drop the knife before they shot him. And then the planned riot that's been just sitting in a can waiting in every major metropolitan city in America right now, there is a canned riot waiting. They're just waiting for any excuse. The rioters, the insurrectionists, took the riot stuff out of the can, including the explosives and the body armor and the clubs and the they did their thing that they do now in every major metropolitan city in the country. And even some of the smaller, I mean, Kenosha, Wisconsin, for crying out loud. Anyway, Fox goes on to report that neither officer had a taser, as if to imply that a man charging at you with a knife, you actually, what we should use is less than deadly force. That's, I mean, he hasn't actually stabbed you yet, so is it really deadly? Perhaps we should look more into tasers. Anyway, the police, by the way, had responded to this guy's house twice before that same day because he was scaring the hell out of his family. They thought he was going to kill himself or someone else. Now, the family says they made a third call, but what they wanted was an ambulance to help him deal with a mental health crisis. What was the mental health crisis? He was scaring the hell out of everyone with a knife. Okay. And so this has now led to the looting and the rape of Philadelphia and emboldening. And by the way, these riots, by the way, that have been going on since early June, I'm becoming more and more convinced that this is a paramilitary organization that is training for an operation that may or may not go into effect Tuesday night or Wednesday this coming week. An actual paramilitary operation is being planned to be executed against us. That's my fear. Okay, and I think it's a legitimate fear. And now I'm not going to lock down over it. I might lock and load over it, but I'm not going to lock down. Okay? When you're afraid of something bad happening, the last thing you want to do is hide. That's not the way we do things. We stand up and we face whatever it is that we're afraid of. We stand up and we face it and then we defeat it. This is America. But this is America, actually. Listen to this from the Sad Religion file. The building of Vietnam Baptist Church in Philadelphia was burned during the what KentuckyToday.com calls a second night of unrest in the city after the police shooting of a black man. So the dutifully they report the presumed narrative that has been ordained by the politically correct. They dutifully report that it's unrest. Okay, when you set a church on fire, that's not unrest. You're not allowed. How are they allowed to publish this? These people should be arrested. You can't. Anyway, the pastor of Vietnam Baptist Church says, quote, "I have no idea why they attacked our church." Really? You have no idea why they attacked your church? This is a naked Marxist anti-Christ organization. They hate God. They hate the family. They hate Christianity. So for the pastor to say he has no idea why they attacked his church, he probably isn't qualified to be a pastor. You should have a pretty good clue about why the Marxist insurrection attacked your church. But maybe he's just being nice, which is one of the problems with mainstream Christianity today. Is in the they're setting your church on fire and you want to be nice. Here's what he says. He says, "Don't copy them. Don't copy those who practice violence." He says, "Love them and pray for them, that the Holy Spirit may convict them and that they may seek God." So what he leaves out of there is the Holy Spirit's not going to be able to convict them until they are judged and they feel some guilt over their sin. The pastor should say these people need to be arrested, they need to be tried, and they need to be judged, and they need to be punished, and they need to be made to hurt, so that perhaps, in light of all that, the Holy Spirit can move in their life. They don't even know they're wrong, and the pastor here is too nice to tell them. Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Just one more point on the sad religion there of the Vietnam Baptist Church. I feel for this pastor and his congregation. It's terrible that your church was burned. But to judge the people who burned your church, that's not copying them. It's the opposite of what they did. They just directed random acts of violence upon innocent people. That's not what judgment is. The civil authorities have the obligation to judge these people. And if they set your church on fire, they should be put to death for what they did. The best way to get their attention and get them in touch with the Holy Spirit is to tell them that you're going to meet them real soon, face to face. All right, we go from there into the decline and fall file, further, deeper, darker into the decline and fall file, where we know now in Lyon, France, there was an attack at a church. A man with a knife starts butchering Christians. Turns out it's a Muslim, recently imported by the French authorities there. I've got a report here, three different sets of graffiti were then discovered around Lyon in the past couple of weeks, referring to local police and the town's mayor. And the graffiti basically says to the police and the mayor, "We will behead you." That's what the terrorists there in France are putting up in graffiti. And all this has happened since the French history teacher was beheaded in broad daylight in a Paris suburb a week before the Lyon butchery that's occurring. And so is it any wonder that Europe is wetting its pants and hiding again from a virus when they're basically importing their own suicide into their country every day. Because why? Because they're fat, rich, and guilt-ridden. All these leftists are fat, rich, and guilt-ridden. They've never done anything to actually contribute value to society, yet they have more money than they know what to do with, and they have the best food, and they're comfortable all the time, and they feel horribly guilty about it. And since they're unable to reconcile themselves with the living God, instead they will commit mass suicide in the end. And they'll take a lot of innocent people down with them. It'll be a murder-suicide in slow motion, happening in Europe right now. So the police in France, by the way, after this knife attack inside the church in Lyon, it really makes me sick how urinalists are these days. The urinalists at Breitbart report that that a knife attack left three dead. So it's just the language is slightly subtly moved to just move everybody one or two steps away from responsibility. And it's a subtle thing, but it's dangerous. This conditions the minds of people. Over time, anyway, it's insidious what the urinalism schools have done. Because this was a terrorist who killed three people. In fact, it should be a terrorist butchered three people, killing them. That's how it should. It should be shocking to read about three people being murdered in a church. But it's a knife attack left three dead. Very clinical, clean. Nothing shocking anymore. World leaders have come out and expressed their thoughts and prayers. The British Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, came out from underneath the bed and said, "I am appalled, and the UK stands steadfastly with France against terror and intolerance." Really, Boris? Boris felt the need to include "and intolerance." And notice that Boris isn't angry or outraged. Boris isn't demanding justice. "I'm appalled." Mm-hmm. German Chancellor Angela Merkel says she was deeply shaken. That's just great. That's what I want to hear from my leader as the terrorists are wielding knives and butchering people. "I'm deeply shaken." She's under the bed quivering in a pool of her own urine already over the virus. And now she's deeply shaken by the Muslim terrorists butchering Christians in the churches of Europe. The Dutch Prime Minister expressed solidarity. The Turkish government. Now, this is what you would expect from the Muslims, right? The Turks say, "We will fight all kinds of terrorism and extremism." Because you expect the Muslims to equivocate because they are the terrorists. But even Boris Johnson. Who is this guy, Boris Johnson? It's a bad haircut and what a moron. How does this guy end up being the conservative salvation of England? Remember, he basically rode Donald Trump's coattails as some sort of populist. I don't know. It's embarrassing. Locking England down again. You know, just stay under the bed, Boris. Eventually a man will show up and save England, for crying out loud. Just embarrassing. All right, from the insurrection file. Antifa was recently filmed. Violent protesters. Well, let's just read here. Right Journalism is the source here. A violent protest, rioting and destruction have taken hold of American cities since late May. Listen to this. After George Floyd was killed by a Minneapolis police officer. So the urinalist here, he has no idea why George Floyd died. I mean, we all saw the video. And we all know how ugly it looked. But to assert that George Floyd was killed by a Minneapolis police officer is, that's going to be proven incorrect in court. And so why does everyone have to keep fanning these fake flames? It really makes me angry. Anyway, and then the author goes on here. This is from rightjournalism.com. The author says, these incidents start out as peaceful protests, but then rapidly turn into violence. And so not acknowledging that the people who show up for these alleged peaceful protests, that they have no idea that when the sun goes down, that the fires are going to start and the looting. Oh, we're just peaceful. As if to separate the peaceful protests from the riots. But everybody knows what's going to happen. We've seen this recipe played out day after day after day after day for months now. There are no peaceful protesters. This is a Marxist insurrection. This is the takedown of America in process, right in front of us. And we better wake up to this. Anyway, the reason I pulled this story down was not to just criticize this particular urinalist, who, for all I know, is wearing pajamas in his mother's basement. I have no idea. But what caught my eye was the video. Shocking. And I'll link to this. The video shows two police officers locked in their police car as Antifa smashes the car. And the police hide in their car. They lock the doors. So the police officers make no attempt to stop the Antifa from smashing their car. And then the Antifa, they smash until they're sick of smashing, and then they walk away. So we've never been here before. There's never been anything like this, where the police have been basically told to stand down in the face of actual physical violence. We've just never been here before. And I don't know how this ends well. I just don't see it. Color me pessimistic. Deeper into the insurrection file, we've got San Bernardino police shot an armed black man. And then immediately they released the video so that everyone would see that it was obvious that the man pulled a gun on police. It's in the video, but it didn't matter. Because the riot was already in the can. It was already in a trailer or a bus or a truck or a warehouse, and the riot was just sitting there. George Soros already paid for all the stuff and had it all ready. So it didn't matter that the black man pulled a gun on the police, and that's why he got shot. BLM protesters immediately gathered in the street. A group gathered outside the store where the shooting took place. One man told onlookers that the police are not from our community. He said they come from the KKK enclaves in the suburbs. And then the urinalist here at Breitbart writes, an anti-police protester attacked a woman in her car. Okay, so there's video of the anti-police protester punching her in the face. So that's not a protest. I've protested. Never have I punched anyone in the face. I have had my fellow protesters punched in the face. But I have never punched anyone in the face during a protest. And once you punch someone in the face, you're no longer a protester. You're a criminal. Okay, but that doesn't seem to matter. Anyway, cars were vandalized, fires were started, blocked traffic. The whole thing, the same recipe every time, right? Gets played out. And still, the press wants to call these protests. It's as if we've disconnected from reality. So the throwing away and the tossing aside of 5,000 years of shared human experience and 100 and 150 years of technological advancement that is borderline miraculous when you compare it to the rest of human history. When we threw all that away and decided to be afraid of the virus, it's as if we threw away everything else too. Like any ideas about criminal justice and how do you run a society? How does a civilization hold together? We disconnected from all that too. And that's also quite disconcerting. From there, we'll go into the peace file, where we're reminded from the reporters that in 1967, 8 Arab heads of state attended a summit in Khartoum. And they signed a dictum that's the no peace with Israel. They had the three no's that were adopted by the Arab world. no peace with Israel, no recognition of Israel, and no negotiations with Israel, and these have become known as the three no's. This was done in response to their defeat in the war in which Egypt and Syria had sought to wipe out Israel and drive the Jews into the sea. That didn't work out for them, so they decided to basically become intransigent against Israel and abandon the so-called Palestinians, whom they had lured out of their houses with the promise of victory. Anyway, so all this has been going on now since 1967. And now the three Arab countries have announced they've decided to say yes to peace with Israel. They've decided to say yes to recognize Israel. United Arab Emirates Bahrain was joined by Sudan, by the way, Khartoum. Where is Khartoum? Is it in Sudan or is it in Bahrain? I think it's in Sudan. So the country where this all started with the 1967 dictum, the three no's, they have decided to say yes. And this is a big deal. It's a big deal. And the people who've made the deal, they deserve some credit for this, that they have quite possibly preserved peace for a time by basically telling the Arabs that there's a lot of money to be made if you'll just be peaceful. And the Arabs are finally being persuaded. Anyway, so I don't know. I'm of two opinions about the whole thing, and so. But I suppose any time an Arab state says that we are willing to recognize Israel, that's good news, you know. For however, who cares about their motivation? If they're just willing to, recognize Israel, that's good news. And that reminds me of. So I've been at war with the squirrels. By the way, the chicken pox, the fowl pox, has just about finished its pandemic through the flock, a flockdemic. And we've got one chicken remains partially blind, but the bird whisperer has gone above and beyond in her daily care for the blinded chickens. And hopefully we'll have all of our chickens will have their sight back soon. And then the war with the ground squirrels has been a resounding success. We've taken 7 squirrels out, and the traps have been out for quite a while now. We haven't had any repeats there, so that's good news. Trying to catch rats, not able to catch the rats. The rats here they're an order of magnitude more intelligent than any other vermin I've ever encountered, because you can't trap them and you can't poison them, and I'm not sure how to get rid of the rats. But I wanted to make an observation about life in general and about the way God has designed things. So I trapped the squirrels, the ground squirrels, I trapped them in a live catch trap. Like basically a big metal cage. And then, so I set up the cage and I put bird seed and millet and corn and stuff that the squirrels like. I put that in the middle of the trap and I put it around the doors of the trap. And then the squirrels, they go for the pile of feed in the middle of the trap and find themselves trapped. Because the squirrels are not as smart as the rats around here. Anyway. And so I had the trap set up for the better part of a month now in various locations around the property. And I have noticed that, and I have to shoot the squirrels, by the way, which is no fun. I don't like it. I have to take the trap out in the back 40 and I have to shoot the squirrel and kill the squirrel. And so that's depressing, and it's sad, and it's the end of a life. And I know it's just a squirrel, and the squirrel is my enemy and all that, but it's depressing to have to do that. But what I've noticed over the course of the month is that the seeds that the squirrel's foot incidentally just pushes into the earth as I'm killing the squirrel. The squirrel pushes a single millet seed into the earth at its last dying effort. And a few weeks later, a millet plant sprouts from the ground. And from that single seed, pushed into the ground, incidentally, accidentally, by a squirrel, that single seed can produce enough food to feed the entire species of ground squirrels for as long as day follows night. It's just pretty amazing to think about the bounty and the way God designed life and the universe and everything. It's pretty amazing. And so, anyway, just wanted to end on a positive note because things are a little bit sketchy right now. And so I invite you all to go out and participate in the most important election of our lifetimes and all of that. But keep the bigger picture in mind. Keep the bigger picture in mind and know that in the end, God has the victory. And we'll be able to enjoy that with Him. But things can get pretty bad before all that. It doesn't have to be the end of the world or Revelation for things to get really horribly bad. So let's keep an eternal perspective in mind, but let's also focus on helping our neighbors and protecting our neighbors and protecting ourselves and protecting our children. After all, ladies and gentlemen, we don't want to see our progeny enslaved by the Chinese Communist Party. So let's all, atheists, by the way. All right, that's it, folks. I want to thank my friends at RealScienceRadio.com and at AmericanRightToLife.com. And, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studio, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.